The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. It's week 11. Indiana's back on the field this weekend on Saturday at noon at Memorial Stadium as they take on the Maryland Terrapins. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman to talk about Indiana's next matchup against the Terrapins. Indiana comes in at 4-5, 1-5 in the Big Ten. Maryland comes in at 5-4. At 3-3 in the Big Ten. Maryland's looking for that all-important sixth win. Indiana's looking to get off the schneid after a four-game losing streak and the open week. So a big game for both teams. It's one of those games that Indiana just has to win, start winning at home. When you talk about the program taking the next step forward, these are the games that Indiana has to win. I don't mind, I don't really care about beating Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State every couple years. These are the games that Indiana has to win, and they had to win last time out against Minnesota, too. Once they start winning those games, those are the games that'll turn this program around. We bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing well, yeah. Yeah, we've talked about before, when you're in a position like Indiana and like several other programs as well, you are faced with those toss-up games. You've got definitely should win, like your Florida Internationals, Ball State, but games that are not easy necessarily, but games you're definitely expected to win. The games you're not expected to win, and they're at a steep hill to climb, like Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Michigan State. You can win one of those occasionally, but you're not going to bank on it. And then you've got a few of those toss-up games. Minnesota's this year, Virginia, Indiana got that one. Maryland, Rutgers, which lately has fallen into a should-win category, but You have to get more of those games than you lose. And the one to Minnesota, obviously, was a game Indiana, really had to have and failed to do so. And that looks even worse after the Gophers were shellacked by Illinois last Saturday. So, for postseason eligibility purposes, Indiana's not going to Michigan to win. So they have to win this one to have a prayer on the last day of the season against Purdue, a team that is certainly better than Indiana, but it's conceivable that IU could win that game. Again, I don't see that happening, but it's possible. All that goes out the window if they cannot beat Maryland on Saturday.
Yeah, and before we go on, TJ, I do want to apologize to our listeners about the quality of audio last week. Hopefully I got that issue fixed. I'm using a new microphone and have sat closer to the internet router at home. So hopefully that's all fixed. I appreciate people reaching out to me, letting me know that's a problem, because when I test the audio before the show and it plays back, it sounded okay to me, and we just can't, while doing a live show, you can't really tell those problems until it's all said and done. But anyway, going back to that point, TJ, this is a Maryland team that is dealing with a lot of off the field stuff. TJ Durkin was reinstated for a couple days and then fired. All that, Jordan McNair's death, all the toxic culture, off-the-field stuff, it's catching up to them. They haven't played well against the good teams in the Big Ten, Iowa, Michigan State, Michigan, and they just, you know, they haven't looked that good outside of the Texas game. They lost to Temple when Temple was struggling earlier in the year, and they, you know, they haven't scored an offensive touchdown against some of these Big Ten elite teams since garbage time at Michigan. So we'll see what they come out. They're going to try and run the ball. They have the better rush offenses in the Big Ten, but that's about it. If you go into their stats, you know, look at their stats. It's run heavy. They're not very good in total offense in the Big Ten, and you know, rushing, they're pretty good at rushing. Third in the conference rushing at averaging 5.8 yards a carry and 220 yards a game. But if you go into total offense, which is combined passing and rushing yards, they're sitting at 13th, just ahead of well, not just ahead of Rutgers, but only ahead of Rutgers because they are about 70 yards per game better than Rutgers. Total yardage wise, and you know, Maryland is just one of these teams that Tom Allen has had an issue stopping. Although it's a different staff, you know, than the last couple of offenses they have, they still have got a really good rushing offense led by Anthony McFarland, who's their freshman running back, Ty Johnson, who TJ, we both have been Ty Johnson fans for his entire career at Maryland. And then you have a couple other guys, Fleet Davis, Javon Leak, Lorenzo Harrison, who is another good guy. He's only played in two games. And he's banged up. They like to run the ball. Kasim Hill is not – their quarterback is not a very good passer. Completes about 50% of his passes. Has 9 touchdown throws and 3 interceptions, but you know, it's a one-dimensional offense. If Indiana shuts down the run, they should have a good shot at coming out at on top of this one. It's kind of a revenge game for them too, for Indiana. IU went into Maryland last year, got up 16-0 and blew that game. And we'll see what happens. And we'll see what happens. But that was last year. That was the game, kind of like Minnesota, that cost IU a bowl game last year. And you got to believe that Tom Allen and those guys remember what Maryland did to them a year ago, and will not take them lightly.
Well, you know, it's a good rundown of Maryland. Essentially, it's as one-dimensional as it gets in the Big Ten, really. Ty Johnson is a guy that you certainly have to game plan for. He was invisible, and I do not think he played at all.
He did not play.
Okay. I was looking for an injury update for him. I know he got hurt against Michigan roughly a month ago and has been limited since, and so, you know, did not play, I guess. I knew I didn't see him, but I couldn't find anything preparing for the show. I could not find anything regarding his status for Saturday, so that's going to be something to keep an eye on. Ty Johnson, not just as a running back, but I think his bigger factor – would be if he's able to go for special teams purposes. Indiana's, you know, coverage units have left a lot to be desired, and Ty Johnson, a guy that can certainly burn you as a return man. So that's watch.
Averaging 27 yards per kickoff return with a touchdown. Yeah. It seems like every year he's putting up yardage and. He's been fun to watch. We compared him to Tevin Coleman a little bit when he was a freshman and came into Indiana and just, you know, averaged 9 yards, almost, you know, 9 or 10 yards per carry, wearing number six and running down the sideline with speed. So, yeah, he's a guy who, if he does play against Indiana, that's a break.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You know, I think one of the more disappointing progressions, if you will, in the Big Ten has been Kasim Hill. A lot more was expected of him than what he's been able to give them this year. Now, I will say that I don't think he's working with much in terms of wide receivers. Not a lot there. You know, DJ Moore was just a huge loss for that offense. They've not been able to even come close to replacing what he did for them in the past game. And it's left them, you know, as basically they can hurt you if you make major mistakes in the secondary. You know, if you stay sound coverage-wise, I don't think they have any receivers or a quarterback capable of burning you more than once or twice in the past game. So it's going to be up to IU's running defense to step up and slow them down. It is S&P plus-wise, it's the 100th-ranked offense, you know, which Indiana is, I think, 14 spots higher than that, and we know that IU's offense has struggled. So that kind of gives you a glimpse of where Maryland's at on offense. Now, the other side of the ball, they've been pretty good. 36, I think, overall, S&P plus. I think that they've been pretty steady as a unit all season. Not spectacular, but they haven't had any woeful outings. And, you know, they've done okay considering that their offense has struggled. So I'm interested to see, number one, how does Maryland come out and attack this game? Because last week it did look like for the first time all year that they really would rather not have been out there. And that could be, you know, complete just unfair guesswork on my part. But that's just what it looked like. There was really – Michigan State got ahead early, and there was very little doubt about what the outcome of that game was going to be. It was more or less just playing out the clock.
Yeah, and then Michigan State – that game turned on two plays, too. You know, Maryland picked off a pass, which they're excellent at. They have 16 interceptions on the year, but they picked off a pass – looked like they were going to go in for a pick six. And I think it was Darryl Stewart, the wide receiver for Michigan State, raked the ball right at the goal line, causing the fumble. It ended up being a touchback for Michigan State, got the ball back. And the next play later, Connor Hayward takes an 80-yard for a touchdown to make it 24-3 instead of 17-10 with all the momentum. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of was the dagger. I watched most of that game. I watched the Texas game over again where, you know, the Texas game is such an outlier to me because you had Jayshon Jones played really, really well, and you expect to go back and look at his season stats, and he only has 177 yards receiving, and more than half of those, 73 of those came against Texas, and that's the crazy part about this offense and throwing the ball. They look really good throwing the ball against Texas. After that, you know, they went to Bowling Green and won. They lost Temple and looked really bad, and they've kind of been a Jekyll and Hyde after winning two in a row in the season. They have alternated wins and losses the rest of the way. Haven't looked against the good teams in the Big Ten, but you know it's their defense is going to keep them in it for their offense to hang around and score some points, and they do the ball away. I believe this is the top two teams in the Big Ten in total takeaways.
Correct.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, we'll see. It could be classified as an ugly football game, but usually those ugly football games turn into exciting games. And that's what this is probably going to be. They played some close games recently, you know, those couple of years. Been some funky games. Indiana fell behind in 2015, 21-3, and stormed all the way back last year. Maryland fell behind and stormed back. And then in 2016, it was just a back-and-forth game where Indiana got out in front, that Maryland went ahead, then Indiana came back, and, you know, that was the old bacon and legs game. But,
yep.
It's good. This is a big game for both teams because Maryland does not have a lot. This might be their only chance at a sixth win this year, with Ohio State and Penn State to close the year. And Indiana needs that fifth win because you can't go into Michigan thinking, oh, no, we got to win this one to go to a bowl. It's 5 wins going into Purdue. It's a rivalry game. We said that last year going into Purdue, anything could happen. Purdue's playing really well right now, and they could be – they're one game behind Northwestern, although Northwestern has that tiebreaker. That bucket game is, if Indiana wins on Saturday, is going to hold a lot of importance for schools because Purdue could be playing for a trip to Indianapolis as West Michigan champions. And Indiana could be playing for bowl berth for the third time in 4 seasons. And TJ, we've seen a lot of people jump off this IU football bandwagon and call for Tom Allen's head and say, you know, why bother rooting for this team that's going to rip your heart out? But, you know, it's tough at 4-5, but if they get this one, you're still going into the last game of the season needing a win to get a bowl game. And if they win that one, going into the season, I believe we said 6 wins is all you need to have a successful year. It was bumpy. Did you like it? Are changes coming? Probably. But it's really too early to really put a fork in the staff and move on. While I did put Tom Allen on the hot seat last week, it's true. His seat is warming up in terms of this is a home game you have to win. And you want fans to buy in. You want, you know, to create that culture. These are the home games IU has to win to do that.
Right. Yeah. I think Indiana's game plan, given the opponent, and really given what IU has shown they're capable of doing, I would love to see an Indiana game plan that was, you know, let's come out, establish Stevie Scott and Ronnie Walker, who I think has had some very nice runs, establish those two and beat them and pound Maryland, because I think that run defense, they can be had. The secondary for Maryland is the strength of their unit. And their pass rush as well is pretty strong. So establish that, and then from there, you know, take some deep shots. There's no reason to hold anything back any longer. There's just not.
No, you're now down to one game seasons, and this is your one game for the rest of the season, because this is about as mathematically not out of it, but this is about as of a backs against the wall must-win game to get to bowl game as Indiana's had since the bucket game last year. So you're right. You've had a week to prepare, an extra week to prepare, to throw in some gadget plays. Tom Allen has said that Reese Taylor has had a lot of work at quarterback the last couple weeks. So, you know, during the open week and all that stuff, it's, you know, it's the feeling that I had last year was that this team left a lot on the field, and it's the same thing going into this game as well. How much has this staff learned from that experience going, oh, we've got to empty the bag. Because if they empty the bag and run their offense and you lose, at least you feel good about, hey, we didn't leave the ace up our sleeve. And that's kind of the feeling I had last year, was you had left a lot of chips and cards on the table and ended up going 5-7. This year, it kind of feels the same way. You kind of lucked out against the Rutgers and held on. But, you know, not using Michael Penix as much and not throwing the ball deep against Minnesota. And, you know, you go back and you say, I should have, could have, would have. And the staff has to learn from that. And, you know, if you do a double reverse pass and Reese Taylor throws an interception, okay, it's like a punt. So, you know, whatever. It's right on tape and all those things. But at least you tried and you're being aggressive. So we'll see what they do. Maryland, you got to establish the run in any Big Ten game to win, and you got to stop the run to do that as well. TJ, what is your matchup to watch for Saturday?
Yeah, I think you could go with I'll just go in general, the run defenses against the run offenses. I think it's specifically, I think Stevie Scott against Maryland's front. And then, you know, really Tyon Fleet Davis has been kind of their most exciting back recently. But, you know, Maryland is going to spread that ball around. Indiana's going to feature Scott more. Maryland's going to have multiple guys get, you know, a handful of carries. So I'm going to go with the run defenses against the run offenses. And so you could say, you know, which offensive line can control the trenches more. Whichever one you have, I think, has a really good shot of walking away with this game. And Indiana's offensive line has to take that as a personal challenge to be able to win that battle.
Yeah, and I don't want to piggyback off of you that much, but I'm going to go a different route and say Indiana against themselves. This is get you got to come out and start fast. You know, so we'll go Indiana versus a slow start. If you come out sluggish and start slow and get behind Maryland, they're going to use their rushing attack, kind of like falling behind Navy a couple years ago, where you don't get as many possessions, you don't have as many chances to score, and especially with Indiana's offense taking 12 plays and a lot of time to get down the field, that turns into a single-digit possession game. And if you get behind a couple scores, you have to be just that much better. So Indiana against a fast start or against a slow start, however you want to put it, it's Indiana against the start of the game. This is going to be a noon game. I don't believe that this is going to be a family and friend type game in terms of fan turnout with basketball starting, the loss against Minnesota, losing four in a row. They need to have the us against the world mentality, get off of social media, stop posting messages that, you know, yelling at fans for not staying, not going, just ignore it. Turn off the noise, go out there and play football, because if Indiana executes the way that they're capable of, and we've seen it at times, but not for all four quarters, they can win this game convincingly and move on. And maybe that's something they have to do for the rest of the season, is block out the noise. You have a lot of people talking about Purdue. You have Indiana fans talking about Purdue being 5-4 after an 0-3 start, beating three ranked teams, and, you know, having a shot to win that Western Division, you know, all the noise about Tom Allen, they'll be in a high school coach, and the way they've gone about that, about Fred Glass, just go out and play football. And if there's 10 people in the stands, so be it. If there's 10,000 people in the stands, so be it. It's you tune out the news. I tune out the news anyway, so depressing. But tune out the noise. Tune out the noise and just put your blinders on and go play. Because people have jumped ship, and I don't blame them. But don't let them in your season, go out, play, start fast. You know, people like to see points score. If you come out and score three touchdowns in a row, maybe some of those fans come back in. Maybe they show up against Purdue next week or in 2 weeks and all that stuff. So, you know, we'll see. That's my matchup to watch is Indiana against their start and those mentalities. It's going to remind me a lot of those 11 a.m. starts up in Northwestern where they don't – and I think Northwestern does it on purpose, but they play – the dullest music at 11 a.m. and there's, you know, a couple hundred people in the stands. It's a bring your own juice kind of atmosphere. So that's my matchup to watch. Let's go. One big key to the game, TJ.
Yeah, my big key to the game is going to be, I'm going to steal a page from your book, and talk about the special teams. No special teams mistakes. That would mean not allowing any blocked punts. That would mean, I will say no missed kicks, but Logan Justice has been good this year as a kicker on field goal attempts. He's been good at that, but still, you know, keep that up. No blown coverages, no missed tackles on the kickoff coverage or punt coverage that leads to big returns. Do not let special teams become a factor in this game. Indiana has far too often allowed more than one big special teams plays that end up costing them contests, and they can't let that happen on Saturday.
Yeah, and that goes right along with the fast start. You sort of get Penn State off, you know, down to the Indiana 36.
Yep.
Last week when that game – Minnesota was, you know, pulled away. They blocked a punt. And being one of the differences in the game and things like that. My key to the game is red zone efficiency. They need to score touchdowns in the red zone. You need to score touchdowns in the red zone and not field goals. It killed them against Minnesota. It killed them in some big games over the last couple of years. You gotta score touchdowns in the red zone. Now, you don't have to be 100%, but you know, two out of every three times, you gotta score a touchdown. And field goals, there's a time place for field goals, and we saw that against Penn State when you know that fourth down that they went for it and things like that, where you kick the field goal to tied. And things like that, but there's a time and the place for field goals, and Indiana right now is scoring at 78%, only a 54% conversion rate on touchdowns, which is just in the Big Ten compared to Rutgers. You've got to score those touchdowns, and it looks like against Minnesota they started their – you know, those two-point plays, TJ, you mentioned it last week, where you body up with John Hale and some of the big receivers getting on the inside of the pass defense instead of throwing it up for those fade balls. And, they got those two two-point conversions. And maybe that's what you do in the red zone. Hey, what's our best or second best, our best four two-point conversion plays and go do that. So,
I don't understand why Breece Taylor cannot be an asset in the red zone.
Correct.
A guy that is as mobile as he is, that we know can throw the ball. I don't care if he's not incredibly polished as a quarterback right now. And I don't really care that he has not had full-time work as a quarterback for a lot of the season. That shouldn't matter in the red zone. You know, you give him a package of red zone plays and let him go to work in that situation. He's a guy that they've continued to talk about, hey, we have to get this guy on the field. We have to get this guy with the ball in his hands. Well, do it. I mean, you know, find situations to make that happen. And if that means you have to force it, well, fine, do so. You know, as we talked about a little earlier,
kind of like what they did with Tanned and Doss.
There's no other time to pull it out.
Nope. And just kind of like what they did with Tanned and Doss, who'd they run away? Kobe's in the red zone where they ran that. I think they scored like three times on Ohio State in 2012 with it. That little reverse, you know, you bring everybody to the left, you reverse it, and, you know, he either could throw it to the left or just run it. It was fast enough, at least Taylor was fast enough to beat guys to the edge, especially, you know, maybe not against Ohio State four or five times, but certainly against a team like Maryland, you would expect him to have enough speed to get there. And you just need something. And to go back on the special teams point, TJ, they need something out of this return game.
I gave up on that.
It's something. You got, you know, I get catching it with Mike Majette and getting the ball at the 25 and making sure you don't fumble it. But if you need a big, go put Jay Williams back there. Go, you know, now that Reese is quarterback number two, probably not putting him back there. But, you know, go put Jay Sean back there. Go put Jay Williams back there. Somebody, you know, somebody who gets through the trash and get up past the 25, because you're making it super difficult on an offense to go 75 yards each time to get the ball after an opponent score. And it's killing them. And even though Deshaun Harris hasn't had a real good punt return in a while, he's still affecting that punt game. And guys are shanking balls and kicking it away from him. And you get those extra yards there like that. But in the kick return game, you're preaching aggressiveness. You got to be aggressive. Just like who cares? You know, what's the difference between 5-7 and 4-8 outside of a win? And maybe, you know, you reclaim the title as having the lowest win percentage in college football. But, you know, who cares? You know, go out and make a play on special teams and things like that. But it's going to come down to, like you said, the run game, run defense, and how Indiana starts this. Prediction time, TJ.
Well, you know, I am an optimist. I choose to be that with sports because, you know, why not? I just don't see the fun in doing it any other way. But I do have to be realistic, and I promised after that Minnesota game that I was not going to pick Indiana to win again until I actually saw it happen on the field. So that kind of forces my hand here. Maryland to win, you know, in probably as gut-wrenching a fashion as possible. We'll say Maryland 31, Indiana 24, with Maryland maybe having a possession of, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes at the end of the game to break the tie with the late touchdown.
Yeah, you go on record saying that you'd pick them. If not winning this one, you're not winning any of them. It's a solid Maryland team. They're not a great Maryland team. You had a couple weeks to get ready for their rushing attacks, and somebody, there's nothing I could do. And you know, I wouldn't be totally shocked if that happened. I'd be very, very disappointed, but I wouldn't be shocked. And I'm going to take Indiana to come out with their hair on fire. You saw them against with their backs against the wall last year a couple times. They did it well 2 out of 3 times, just not that third time. We'll see how they respond this year. I think Indiana's going to take it, establish the run game. They'll win 28-21 in a turnover fest.
I'd take that for sure. Anything to get a win. Style points are far from mattering. That stopped mattering a long time ago. And, you know, obviously it would just be a lot, just from our standpoint, and I'm sure from the team standpoint, the staff standpoint, everything would just feel a little bit better this coming week if you can get back in the win column. So it's a big game for a lot of reasons. Certainly, you know, I can't help it. I always look forward to it, no matter how bleak things look. I mean, look, it's not too long ago that things were way, way worse than this. So,
yeah,
you know, look, I always think that even a bad day of college football is way better than almost anything else sports-wise. So I'll take it, and hopefully, you know, things go much better on Saturday. A couple of storylines that I do want to mention real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, you're getting towards the end of the season, obviously, where, you know, guys, the staff is making decisions on do we redshirt or do we play him. I think Jacob Robinson would be an interesting guy to whether or not the staff chooses to play him if he's capable of playing again, or, you know, if they hold him. He's only played 3 games, so if they held him out, or maybe 2, I'm not sure, but it's less than 4. So even if he is healthy enough to come back, I wonder if him coming back for another year is something he'd be interested in doing. You know, something to watch, perhaps. And then I'm also interested to see whether or not Jayshon Harris applies for another year of eligibility and whether or not he gets it. I would anticipate that would probably be set in motion after this year, but another storyline to watch. And his play this year has been at wide receiver, has been something that I have really enjoyed watching. I think he deserves a lot of credit for continuing to battle back through those injuries and be a really solid slot receiver for the Hoosiers. So those are just a couple of things that popped into my head throughout the week that I thought I'd mention.
Yeah, Jacob Robinson's an interesting one. You know, really, really wants to finish it out. You know, these guys he came up with, and game and factor if he can, but it would be nice to have a guy like him back on the defensive line next year as well. But it's going to be totally off of him. We'll see. He has played in 3 games, and you know that will kind of help. So, but we'll see. I'll win 2 out of the next 3 in a goal game. And finishes for strong. Jayshon Harris is interesting too. You know, 3 knee injuries. It would definitely be, you know, a case to listen to get that 6-year of eligibility. And hopefully the NCAA would do the right thing. And, you know, this does kind of have a future earner if he wanted it.
Yeah.
Again, that he could be,
you know,
those return guys in the NFL that, you know, is good for a couple catch, you know, 10-15 catches a year, but could be a big threat on special teams. And the NFL look at those guys, and, you know, has he done enough on the field to go this next year? He got that 6-year of eligibility, but that's an interesting thing to look at. And then, you know, what they do with restart quarterback as well is an interesting storyline, and some of these other redshirt guys that they can play or redshirt as well. And, you know, we'll see. It's the talent's there. It hurt a lot to lose Michael Penix, because just you saw his arm strength and you saw him play. And your mind just wanders to what this team would be if they, you know, rolled the dice and went with him opening day. And I was going through my text messages, you know, late last night before going to bed, and I scrolled back to one that I sent to people at 7:23 on September 1st, and it said, well, they should have started Penix. And that was after Ricky threw that first interception. So, you know, I've been on board the Penix train since beginning, and, you know, nobody could deny that. But it's, you know, that's a moot point right now with him being hurt. But the future kind of looks bright. If they could just survive this year and end the year on a high note and feel good about going into that into the offseason and keep this recruiting class together, you have a lot of these coming back. Your run game, you get Cole Guest back, you to go along with Johnny Walker and Stevie Scott. You bring in Sam James as well. Christian Haycheck might be starting to play more as well. This wide receiver core looks really, really good, especially if you get Donovan Hale and Nick Westbrook back next year and guys want to stay. You get Watt back at 100%. And, you know, your mind starts to wonder what is 2009 going to happen. And that's why I don't think they're going to blow it up this year with that. Now, there might be some staff changes. I think there should be some staff changes. But you're not going to blow this whole thing up while you're sitting on a quarterback like Michael Penix coming back next year and you know, a solid running game and going to have to replace an offensive lineman, but, you know, we'll see what they do there. So, well, that does it for tonight's show. Indiana takes on Maryland from Memorial Stadium at noon on Big Ten Network. Check your local listings. As always, I'll tweet out the Big Ten BTN Game Finder as well when they put that out. Just a reminder, they have not announced the kick time for Michigan. The networks use their flex, 6-day flex. So you'll find that out on either late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. And then we'll get into, the final quarter of the season. It has gone by quickly, almost too quickly. So, you know, enjoy the last three games. Enjoy the races. Man, this is shaping up to be one of the best finishes in college football that I remember, with the races in the East, races in the Big Ten West, the SEC, and all those. So we'll see, TJ. Enjoy the rest of your week, and I'll see you down in Bloomington on Saturday.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. It seems like it's probably going to be a chilly one on Saturday, but hopefully the sun's out and we can enjoy seeing Indiana get back into the win column. Either way, we'll provide the coverage and soldier on.
Yep, we'll be on the air next Monday night to preview the Indiana's trip up to the Big House, and we'll see what happens. Nothing good happens up at the Big House, I'll tell you that. Whether it comes from parking the car, not having an ice maker in the press box, you know, a gazillion dollars they spent on the press box left an ice maker. Like something that NASA would do. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Be coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. I think I finally got the pop-up, the pop-up ad issue. It's still an issue to people. Please let me know nicely. I don't really want to be yelled at. It's an issue that I really can't control. But I added security to the site that should help with that. If you want to point it out nicely. I get yelled at by kids all day, and I don't really want to be yelled at by adults on Twitter, and I will snap back at you and stuff like that. So please nicely tell me that the site is being annoying or that there's a grammatical error. And I really do appreciate that in all seriousness. But do it in a well-toned manner and don't be a jerk about it, because I have, you know, 100 jerks yelling at me all day. Anyway, and I just don't want to put up with that. Anyway, for joining us, enjoy the rest of the week. Hopefully it's not too cold. And remember, Indiana kicks off at noon, 10 Network against Maryland. I see one of their fifth win of the season and trying to break a 4-game losing streak. Anyway, that does it for tonight's episode of the Hoosier Huddle podcast, and we'll talk next week.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.